You're listening to the Thoroughly Good Classical Music Podcast.
It's been almost a year since the last Thoroughly Good Podcast episode. The break has been glorious, so much so that returning to the edit process has been an unexpected joy, painless, swift, far less onerous than before. I heartily recommend year-long breaks from things if you can possibly take them. It's the way forward. This episode features horn player Felix Klieser, who appears at the BBC Proms this week in his role as artist-in-residence with the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra. I haven't spoken to many horn players on the podcast before, and it's important to be upfront about one of the reasons I've spoken to this one in particular. Klieser plays the horn with his feet, on account of having no arms. This seemingly monumental achievement is, as I think you'll conclude listening to this conversation, of comparatively little consequence to Felix, who sees himself not as a differently abled artist, one of the reasons people like me are talking to him this week, but as a musician who wants to make the audience happy. At a point in time when identity, representation and opportunity are words that rightly weigh heavily in our present-day discourse and thinking, it's Klieser's motivation from the age of four which is counterintuitively the more powerful message he shares. He is not someone who tells the story of achieving against the odds, but an individual who is content. First things first, can you tell me who you are and what you do, and importantly, why you do it?
My name is Felix Klieser. I play the French horn, and I think I'm doing this because it's the only thing I'm good in.
I'm sorry, I feel slightly embarrassed about the questions that I feel I need to ask you. So I'm just going to put that out there first, which is you are not just a horn player, you're a horn player who plays the horn with your feet. How is it that you want to be described in the industry?
I would say, you know, I'm not the person who wants to control how people think about me. It doesn't care me that much, you know. I'm not the person who wants that everyone loves me. It's okay when someone hates me, but if there's a person who thinks nothing about me, that's maybe not good. You know what I mean? So if you are someone who is Felix Klieser and the person says, Felix Klieser, doesn't matter, that's not good. But if the people love me or if, when they hate me, this is something which is... both is okay for me, you know?
Okay. So maybe I'll have another run-up at that question then. I think for me, it's in the present climate, I am unsure of how to describe you as a horn player. Are you differently abled? Are you abled? Are you disabled? How do you want to be seen?
I never think about these things. And you can think how you think, you know? Because I'm not the person who explains other person who they should think about me or who they how they should think about me or how they should see me. That's not important. That you can see me like, you know, like you see me, because
it's really not important.
For me, yes, because this is the most important, because when you do what I do, this is the first step you have to learn, because if you're not able to accept this very simple thing, then your life will be horrible, because you cannot control everything, you know. When people try to control of how people see them, then it will not work, because the thing is, how I see me is not the way how I am. Maybe it's something I wish I would be, or which is maybe really boring or really horrible or something like this. I think, wow, this is amazing, this is fantastic, but the people around me think, okay, this is maybe very boring, you know. And so maybe in the beginning of the career, I tried to force the people that they think that I'm a good horn player, you know. But right now I'm in a situation when they think I'm not a good horn player, then it's their opinion, you know. Why should I try to change their way of thinking? So it doesn't matter.
You can see why I'm asking. Or maybe you can't see why I'm asking.
No.
You can't? Oh. It's even more awkward. You really skewered me right at the beginning of the interview.
No, you can tell me why you asked.
Which is that, say, for example, I worked for an arts organisation, the name of which I won't tell you, where I did some filming with a soprano who was... she was representing their learning department. She was playing a character who she described on camera as a mad old woman. And the person from the learning department said, well, you can't say that because that's ableist. We don't want you to say that. And that made me very sensitive on behalf of other people. And so consequently, when I come to an interview with someone who is differently abled, that makes me very sensitive because I think I want to make sure that I describe them in the right way, that is respectful and reflects the present climate. Hence my question.
Well, but you know, if I would write an article about myself, this would be the most boring thing in the world, because I would not write an article about myself. I would write an article how the world should be, or, you know, this would, you know, there are different things, you know. When you're an artist, then you're an artist, but the interpretation of this person or how you see the person is not possible to do this by the artist itself. It's like when a roboter creates a roboter, you know, it's not the idea behind it, because a roboter should be a human being or a kind of human being. So human beings are creating something and a roboter is doing this. So these are two things, and you are a person who sees me from a different point of view, from your life and from your ideas, from your mindset, from your background and so on. And this makes an artist interesting, you know. If this would be a PR thing, then it's boring because it's not interesting.
One of the positive impacts that you've, in addition to your playing, one of the positive impacts that you can have is to increase representation and therefore increase accessibility. I mean, that is one of the, I don't know if you're still involved in it, but that is one of the aims of the charity that you connected with in 2014, isn't it? That by representing people, by increasing visibility, that increases accessibility to a whole range of other people.
Well, you know, if I would describe me, you know, or if you would describe another person, then there is two parts of a person. The first thing is you can see, you know, you can see, is it a male, is it female, is the person old, is the person young, has the person something, is he or she in a wheelchair or not. There are many, many things you can see. But this is one part of the person. Then there is another part you cannot see, and this is a personality, this is a person behind it. And, you know, I'm not thinking that I'm a disabled person or something like this, because I don't feel like this, you know. I'm traveling around the world, playing concerts, doing what I want to do. I'm completely free, I can do whatever I want. I have so many possibilities. I have a very privileged life in the end. But this is because of the way how I think about myself, you know. If the same person, Felix Lisa, would think that he has many, many problems and there are many, many things he is not able to do because he has no arms and he is not, there are many, many things that they're not possible because he has no arms, then it's the same person, but the personality is completely different, and then the result of Felix Lisa would be completely different, you know. So in the end, it's not important what you see, it's important what a person has inside, you know. This is much, much more important. How people interpretate what they see when they see me, it's for me unimportant, because they can say whatever they want, you know. If they say I have blonde hair or dark hair, or this is important, or this nose is not the beautiful nose, or, It's interpretation of what they see. So, and why should I change this? So there's no reason.
Where do you think that comes from in terms of your background? Is that position that you hold, does that come from one particular part of your family or one particular time?
Well, I would like to say my childhood was not an easy childhood, and this was not because of that I had no arms. So this was not the problem. My home where I grew up was not the best area for a kid to grow up. So I decided really when I was, I think I can remember when I was 4 years old, there at the first thought in my life, okay, the point where you are right now is not good for you, it's dangerous, so you have to break out of this world. How can you do this? You know, this were one of my first thoughts I can remember in my life. And this changed you a lot because you have two possibilities. You can say, okay, this is my world, this is the situation, and you cannot change anything. Or you can decide yourself, okay, no, this is not the life I want to have. I want to have something different.
You remember being that self-determined?
Self-determined?
As in self-driven. I mean, I hear when you tell me that is, no, I have two choices, and I'm choosing this.
Yeah.
And you remember that. How old were you? Do you recall how old you were?
4 years. I can remember the first time when I had these thoughts in my mind. I was 4 years old. So I'm a very young person. So there I learned really quick, when you want something or want to change something, then you cannot ask someone for something. So you have to do it by yourself, because there's no possibility than the thoughts you have in your mind. And this is maybe this part which is the most important part of my personality, and which makes me, or which creates my personality, or which is the main thing which creates my personality. So, and this is something I learned really, really early in my life. And so this was also a reason why I was not, you know, when I grew up, so having arms, no arms, this was not the topic problem number one. So there were other problems, but this was not my problem number one, because this was easy. Okay, can do everything. Okay, problem solved. Okay. But maybe this is the reason why I had the wish to be a very good home player, because maybe I understood when I was 4 years old, when you're really good in something, then you can create your own life, and then you can break out of an area where you don't want to grow up. So this is maybe the biggest motivation.
So it's almost as though there was an even bigger challenge in front of you, which distracted, deflected, provided focus.
Yeah, I think, you know, when kids grow up in difficult situations, and they always have two possibilities. Maybe they will die inside, you know, the character is broken, or they will grow up very fast and very quick. I think these are the two possibilities. There's no other possibility ways, and then this is the way which formed my character, I think, most. So this is the way how I deal with situations, that I think, okay, when you have a problem, then it's a problem, okay, but for every problem there's a possibility to solve this problem, even if you're on a specific point where you think it's not possible to solve this problem or to overcome this point of your life. Yeah, even if you think exactly this, it is possible. And when you have this way of thinking and this way of mindset, then it helps you a lot, because then you feel completely free, because you are not the product of what is around you, how you grew up, how many, you know, legs and arms you have. This is not important. The way is, when you're able to solve problems, then there's no limit. But when you say yourself, okay, there's a problem and you cannot solve it, then you have your limit. And you can decide where your limits are. And this is something which sounds really, maybe for a person who never was thinking about these things, sounds like a esoteric sing or something. I don't know, maybe, but this is the way how I think, and maybe that's the reason why I'm at the point I am right now, you know, because I'm not the most talented horn player on this planet, definitely not. In my childhood, there were many young horn players. They had amazing talent, and they were amazing, played wonderful without practicing, and I was practicing a lot and was not that good, like, and so I can say I'm not the biggest talented horn player in the world, but I loved at some points to learn and to understand and to solve problems, and these things are the things which fascinates me from the first time when I can remember. I was 4 years old, very young, but so this is maybe the thing which formed my character.
Does the sense that you are helping inspire another generation of similarly able children, is that a joyous thing, or does that come with the weight of responsibility?
Can you ask once again?
So, you know, the other thing that strikes me is that you, as I said before, you perform a role where you are visible to others. Mm-hmm. Others in a similar situation are seen as a result of your successes. Therefore, are you aware of that? Does that bring you joy, or is there a weight of responsibility?
You know, my biggest wish, if someone asked me, why are you doing music? Then my answer is always, I want to make people happy, you know, because I'm at a point in my career where I don't have to show everyone that I can play the horn, you know. It's this point is behind me, you know, that I had to be strong and that I'm really good, and everyone has to say that I'm really good and I'm really good. This is not the thing why I go on stage anymore, because for me the most beautiful thing is when you go on stage and you have the feeling that the audience is happy, then it's beautiful, then it's nice, and that's the reason why I'm creating music, you know. And in the end, you know, it's not important that you follow someone or that you follow somebody. It's important that you are happy with the things you are doing and they're happy how your life is. And when you're happy with the situation, you are perfect. But when you're not happy, then it's maybe helpful to ask yourself, okay, why are you not happy? And is there a possibility to get what makes you happy, you know? And this is something I want to show people, that maybe they can do much more with their lives than they maybe think, you know, because when you never thought about what is possible, you know, when you when I would ask you, okay, is it possible to become an astronaut, and you would say no, but there are people that are an astronaut, you know, so there is a possibility to become an astronaut. Yeah. So the first step is to learn how to become an astronaut, you know, and not to say, no, it's not possible, you know what I mean, because it seems not possible, and even things that seem not possible does not mean that they are not possible, and this is something which fascinates me, and I would be happy to invite people to show this, and maybe when someone had the feeling, okay, when I think maybe different about something situations, and there's so much more I can enjoy in my life, that's beautiful.
You teach, I mean, you do past master classes, but do, yes. do you teach?
Yes, I have a horn class at the University of Münster, so I teach, yes.
What feedback do you get from your students about your teaching?
Not really, you know, I'm not getting real feedbacks, you know, because
you don't get feedback from your...
No, because you know, you know when you study music, then you go to the lessons and you have 1.5 and students 1.5 hour in the lessons, and the teacher is telling this, then the student is getting tired and goes out and try to fix everything for the next lesson, and I think, you know, I'm you know, when you teach at a music university, then your main topic, of course, is music and the instruments. So you have to teach specific things about technical things and how you interpret and which character you need for Baroque, which character you need for Romantic, and the basic things you teach. So this is not something I teach, but you know, I'm You know, when I was younger, then I was focused my whole life on becoming a good horn player. But when you are in a specific point of your career, then you have more energy and you have more time for thinking about other things in life. And this is something I'm doing right now for the last 2-3 years, you know. And I think this is quite interesting because this is something which maybe can help people, even if they are not interested in music, and even if they don't play an instrument, and even if they are not interested in music, to give them a little motivation and a little help.
I just wonder whether you're aware of, I mean, this may make you feel slightly uncomfortable, but I'm going to say it anyway, because I have a reputation for doing that. You speak with an enormous amount of humility about your achievements, and it's almost to the point that this is, you know, it's emotionally hard work. It's emotionally hard work. And that's why I was asking about feedback from students, because I know how I feel talking to you, and I wonder whether they ever tell you how they feel when you're teaching them.
Yeah, but you have to know, you know, teaching is teaching is different, you know.
Oh,
teaching is completely different.
Is it?
It is, yeah, because, you know, there are many, many young people, they will go to university, then they go to a lesson, then they want to learn a lot, and if they have the feeling they don't learn a lot, then they go to another teacher, or if they think something is not working, then they say, okay, it's not working, I have to change the teacher, because it's not working, it's not me, it's a teacher. So the way of thinking is different, you know, you have to be open for this way of thinking. And although sometimes you see a student coming and you see some specific problems, but the student is not seeing the problem, then it's for you as a teacher, it's quite difficult to change something, because when the person not understand what the problem is about, even if it's a very small problem, not a big thing, you know, can be sometimes a very small problem, but which makes a big difference, you know. And when they don't understand, or when they don't have the sensibility for this topic, then it's difficult. So, and not everyone has it, specific in the area when you are 20, 21, 19, and this. And this part of your life, you have other things in your mind than thinking about the big, you know, which connects everything. You just want to play the scale a bit faster, have here better intonation, no misprints in this scale, and so on. This is the thing, or the way how people in that age are thinking about.
I think I'm reminded, just to go back to the point I was trying to make earlier on, you are extremely generous. You talk about the priority of the audience being happy all of the time. That is, certainly in my experience talking to performers, that is an unusual thing to hear repeatedly. You are a generous person. Oh, you're not going to take that compliment, are you?
Maybe. But the thing is, you know, why are we doing music? So, and this is something people quite often forget, because for the most people, or in the triple A class area of music, people are thinking music is like sports. You have to be the best, you have to be the fastest, the quickest, the most amazing, and so on. But in the end, we make music for people. And why are we listening to music? Most of the time we listen to music to feel good, to have some emotions, to have some remembrance, to jump in another world, you know? So people are there for connecting people. Music is there for connecting people and for making us happy and feeling good and so on. So this is the most important thing, and the people are forgetting this, especially when you do this as a job and professional, and then you just think about, okay, play everything as perfect as possible, and every concert has to be amazing, and this is the most important thing, but the rest is unimportant. But I learned in my life that the most important thing is that the audience is enjoying this. And when I have the feeling that the audience enjoys the music, then I'm happy. It doesn't matter if I would say I'm playing good right now or not so good, or if the concert was perfect or not so perfect. When the people are, you know, when they smile, you know, after the concert, then it's fine, then it's perfect. So, and this is something we should not forget when we work with music, and when this is our daily routine in the end, that music is there for connect each other and for make us happy.
You've been listening to the Thoroughly Good Classical Music Podcast. My name is John Jacob. Follow Thoroughly Good on Twitter @ Thoroughly Good and on Instagram @ Thoroughly_Good.